Hello and welcome to another lesson in our Catechism for America. Today we're taking lesson 8, the 8th lesson on our Lord's Passion, Death, Resurrection, and Ascension. So it's a pretty long lesson. What did Christ Jesus suffer? What did he suffer? And remember, people used to memorize these answers, so they knew really a clear answer of what he suffered. Jesus Christ suffered a bloody sweat, a cruel scourging, was crowned with thorns, and was crucified. Jesus Christ suffered a bloody sweat, a cruel scourging, was crowned with thorns, and was crucified. And if you know your rosary mysteries, the sorrowful mysteries, much of that, almost all, we just missed the way of the cross, the carrying of the cross. But everything else is in there. On what day did Christ die? And of course we know this. Christ died on Good Friday. Why do you call that day good, on which Christ died so sorrowful a death? I'm sure many children have asked this question, so they put it in the catechism. And maybe grown-ups as well. We call that day good on which Christ died because by his death he showed his great love for man and purchased for him every blessing. So it wasn't good for Christ except that he was fulfilling his Father's plan, but it was good for us. So it's called Good Friday for our sake. Where did Christ die? And hopefully we all know this. Christ died on Mount Calvary, also called Golgotha in the scriptures. How did Christ die? And we know this also. Christ was nailed to the cross and died on it between two thieves. Why did Christ suffer and die? Christ suffered and died for our sins, but there's a reason why God, only Jesus, satisfied for our sins. What lessons do we learn from the sufferings and death of Christ? Here's what we should learn. From the sufferings and death of Christ, we learn the great evil of sin, the hatred God bears to it, and the necessity of satisfying for it. And if you listen to any of my talks on reparation, I speak of God's justice, which one time I had a very deep insight into God's justice. And it is necessary to satisfy for sins. Christ satisfied for sins in his infinite way, but he also asks us to participate by our suffering in offering that to him, to God, to also pray for sinners. Where did Christ's soul go after his death? Now, this is an interesting, you know, we say he descended into hell, or some translations of the creed say he descended to the dead. So at this time, it only said he descended into hell. And so after Christ's death, his soul descended into hell. Now that can cause questions that people should be asking. Did Christ's soul descend into the hell of the damned? Which, because I was just speaking to a woman on the phone, and people don't know there's anything else. And so this question answers that. The hell into which Christ's soul descended was not the hell of the damned, but a place or state of rest called limbo. See, later they named it limbo, and that word limbo comes from the word limbus, which means border, sort of like the border between life, death, and then eternity, heaven. So he went to where the dead were waiting for redemption, a place or state of rest called limbo. We don't really talk about limbo anymore. It wasn't defined as a doctrine of faith. But it is sort of an understanding that those who died, where the souls of the just were waiting for him, those good people who died before his redemption, before he died on the cross, there was a place of the dead where they had to wait. And again, these things are expressed in our human language and eternity and God, they're beyond language. So we try to express it in such a way so that we can understand as best we can while we're in this life until we go to heaven, hopefully, and then God will help us understand things much more fully. So the hell, if you ever wondered, he descended into hell and you haven't learned this, he descended to the place of the dead where the just souls like Abraham and all the people in the Old Testament who were good, but I'm sure other good people that are not in the Old Testament were waiting for him. Why did Christ descend to the dead? I put to the dead. It's of course in the original to hell. Why did he descend to hell? Christ descended to the dead to preach to the souls who were in prison, that is to announce to them the joyful tidings of their redemption. So because of Adam's sin and Eve's sin, they could not enjoy heaven until Jesus died, but they were worthy in a sense. They had lived, I mean, think of, if you know the story of Joseph in the Old Testament, to me, he is the most saintly character. I know Moses was very, very good as well, but not like Joseph in the Old Testament. Just so much virtue in the midst of so much hardship. All those people had to wait to be sharing in the joys of heaven until our Lord died and rose again. Actually, he died and satisfied for our sins. The resurrection was the capping of it for our life, but he actually went to the dead before his resurrection. Where was Christ's body while his soul was in the place of the dead? While Christ's soul was in the place of the dead, his body was in the Holy Sepulchre, which is an old-fashioned name for tomb, his tomb. And they still call the place where he was buried the church, under the church of the Holy Sepulchre. So that just is a fancy word, an old-fashioned word for tomb. On what day did Christ rise from the dead? And we all know this. Christ rose from the dead, glorious and immortal, on Easter Sunday, the third day after his death. And it was indeed a Sunday. He died on Good Friday, and it was related to the Passover celebration. And the Sabbath, the ladies had to rest. He couldn't be anointed because he had died so late on Friday. And they never do any labor from the time the sun goes down on Saturday evening until sunrise on Sunday. That is the day of rest. That's why Jesus was buried. As the Gospels say, they took note of everything when he was laid to rest. But the ladies had to come back because they couldn't do the work of anointing his body fully. There were some preliminary preparations, as we hear in John's Gospel, by Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, but it was not complete. And so we know the beautiful story of the ladies going to the tomb to anoint the body, surely in complete sadness and surprised. Of course, the stone was rolled back and the tomb was empty. How long did Christ stay on earth after his resurrection? So now we should know this. Christ stayed on earth 40 days after his resurrection to show that he was truly risen from the dead and to instruct his apostles, the last instructions. And we have some of those beautiful, beautiful stories in the Gospels of the appearances after the resurrection. After Christ had remained 40 days on earth, to where did he go? And actually, I changed the word where from whither. So to whither did he go? That's how they wrote it originally. But I would say we understand better to where did he go? After 40 days, Christ ascended into heaven. And the day on which he ascended into heaven is called Ascension Day. Again, this is why Our Lady gave the joyful, sorrowful, and glorious mysteries for people to ponder. Again, if you pray the rosary, these things are familiar to you. These are the mysteries, the glorious mysteries, before we were going through the sorrowful mysteries. And yet we're going through the catechism. So you see how they're all so related. Okay? So after 40 days, he ascended into heaven. And the day on which he ascended into heaven is called Ascension Day. It's a Thursday, 40 days, exactly 40 days after. We used to celebrate Ascension Thursday, but now they transferred it to Sunday. We celebrate it on the Sunday after that Thursday. Now where, this is a good question, although you might know it from the Creed, where is Christ in heaven? In heaven, Christ sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. That sounds familiar. And finally, this is a good question, so we understand what that means. What do you mean by saying that Christ sits at the right hand of God? Because, of course, everything's different in heaven. So we learn, when I say that Christ sits at the right hand of God, I mean that Christ, as God, is equal to his Father in all things, and that as man, he is in the highest place in heaven next to God. But he's actually equal. He is God. But so he sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. And again, these are human ways of expressing eternal truths, infinite truths, and only in heaven will we more fully understand. Although as you pray and you receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which the Holy Spirit is in the next chapter, you begin to understand more deeply some of these things, sometimes in ways you can't express, but you perceive. And so these are simple ways of expressing very profound truths, and they give you a kind of beginning thought for you to ponder and deepen as you grow in faith. So thank you for joining me for this lesson, and I hope you will join me again. God bless you, and let's pray always for our church, our country, and the world.